get this tuned in before I start yelling at y'all. Getting better? Better? Good? Okay. Well, I can say that it's good seeing Jeremy in short sleeves because that means the weather is starting to warm up and that means spring is on its way and that means we're not going to have to wear coats. So who needs a groundhog when you got a Jeremy? So it's good. It's good. Thank you for letting us know. I think everybody's ready for spring. I know that I am. I enjoyed being outside for that little bit of sunshine that there was there. Today at work, I walked across the street to get lunch, and I was super thankful that finally the warm sun was hitting. I didn't have to wear a coat to go over across the street, so that was good. But with spring comes a lot. One thing I hate it. I hate wet dog, muddy dog paws, and all of you dog owners know exactly what I'm talking about. But with spring, the warmer temperatures comes that the wet ground and the mud and the dog paws, which I'm not looking forward to. But one of the things I am looking forward to about spring is weddings and gatherings and parties and things that are going to start happening. And I guess just by a show of hands in here tonight, has anybody been invited to a wedding yet this year? No. Oh, you're in one. Okay, great. Is anybody getting married this year? Some hands went way down. Said, no, not this year. But there's a great joy. I mean, I don't plan on ever getting married again, so that's good. But there's a great joy. There's a great joy in that day. There's the party that comes with it, the banquet, all the things that are great about a wedding day. It's oftentimes for people the best day of their lives. The things that they can remember, the photos that they have, they're going to cherish it for the rest of their lives. And when people get married, I'm so excited, whether they invite me or not, that they get to share in that day together. But as Ashley said earlier, we'll get this party started, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight, is a wedding party. Who gets to go, who's invited, and what the requirements are for said party. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Matthew chapter 22, and this is Jesus' parable to the priests and the Pharisees about a wedding feast. So Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, starting in verse 1. We'll probably read through verse 14. So 22:1 says, "And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Again he sent out the other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted calf are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. Verse 5. But they made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized the servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious, and he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Verse 8. Then he said to the servants, The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. Verse 11. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Verse 13. Then the king said to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and we just commit this time to you, God. We pray that your presence be on each and every heart in this place. Lord, convict us, teach us, grow us as followers of Christ, Lord, and let this time together, let us be in one accord and one mind, Lord, and let your Spirit take hold of our lives for this short time together, Lord, so that we can change our lives and lives outside these walls through your word. Father, we love you and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So, just a little bit of backstory. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the chief priests about some things that are going on. And he had just talked about the parable of the wicked vine dresser. And these guys are still not quite understanding. If you look up in 21 verse 45, he says, When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. So these people realized, oh, this is about me. This parable is about about me. It's not about the vine dressers. It's about me. And when they perceived it, see, God has a way of getting our attention. God has a way of making sure that we're understanding things. God has a way of convicting and making sure that we're getting, whether we accept it or not, we're getting what he's meant to say. And for these people, Jesus was continuing to explain to them the danger of rejecting him as Lord and Savior and the Messiah that they were looking for. And in verse 1 of chapter 22, and he answered them and spoke to them in parables again, and it upset them. They were not willing to hear. They didn't quite care what Jesus had to say. They were not the Messiah that they were looking for. He was just another guy, just another prophet, as the groups had called him. They were nothing. He was nothing to those chief priests and those high religious ranking leaders. He was nothing but a burden and somebody that was going to tell them otherwise. So they didn't quite like it. But he compares this kingdom of heaven in verse 2 to a king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. In verses 2 and 3, there was a wedding invitation that went out. Unfortunately, as we read on to verse 4, it was rejected. Like I said before, this was not the Savior that the Jewish folks were looking for. This is not the coming Messiah that was going to deliver them from the hand of Rome. This is not the Messiah that they were looking for, so they were not listening. And they continued not to listen. But think about this just for a second. Being invited to a royal wedding, not everybody gets to go. I don't know about you, but when Prince Harry got married, I didn't get an invite. It was meant for those who were close to him and family, the people who were high ranking in the royalty world, and I don't fit into that. You see, these people here, the they that is being talked about in chapter 22, verse 3, he was talking about these Jewish leaders, the people who were supposed to know what was going on yet chose not to interpret the scriptures right. They completely blanked out on Jesus. And all of the law and all of the prophets were pointing to him, and they said, this is not who we want. So they rejected him, but they were still invited. They still got the very sought-after invitation. In those days, you know, when a king or a prince or a princess was getting married, it was a huge deal. Things stopped. Shops closed down. Everybody was going. Everybody was going to show up. Royalty, the peasants there, they kind of maybe watched the parade, but they didn't get to go into the feast. They didn't get to go into what they were, into the ballroom. They didn't get to go into the festivities. They just get to see the married folks walk on by. They didn't get to be partakers. They surely didn't get an invitation either. And so these guys, they get an invitation, and they say, you know what? We don't want any part of it. In verse 4, it said, they were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Does it make any sense why somebody who got an invitation to a wedding such as this decided that in their own heart that they didn't want to be part of it? There is no logical or reasonable explanation as to why they rejected it. None whatsoever. Was it the food? No. Doubt it. Was it the venue? No. Doubt it. There was no logical explanation to why they said, you know what? We're not going. But that was the choice that they made. But the king in verse 4, again he sent out the other servants, and he said this to them, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. This king really, really wanted those folks to show up. He wanted them to be there. He wanted them to celebrate in the festivities. He wanted them to be a part of all of the great things that he had put together. Yet, they didn't want to come. He told the servants, tell those who are invited, see that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. He didn't say to the servants, hey, go tell them to bring gifts. Go tell them to bring a side dish. Go tell them to bring anything. Nor did he tell them when they got there that they had to fix a plate. Nor did he tell them to tell the people who were invited, when you get there, the presents go over here, the cards go over there. He says all things are prepared. Let me tell you something. If you think that you're going to bring something into God's house that's going to be worthy enough for him to eat, you're sorely mistaken. There is nothing that we can bring to a risen Savior that is going to be worthy other than the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all we can bring. And this man, and this king is telling these people, tell them that I have done everything, the work, the planning. And all of you who've been married, you know that wedding planning is probably one of the most stressful times in your life. And you go from, you know, you go from the proposal to, okay, when we got to set a date. Okay, we'll set a date. We got that date penciled in. Boom. All right, now where do we want to get married? Well, we call 16 different venues to see, what do you have this date open? Are you guys open here? How much is it going to cost? And you say, okay, well, now we got to get food. We got to get food, and then we got to go do the clicky. What's that? The register. You got to figure out what you need for your house, and you got to scan everything, and then you got to send out the invites and get those all prettied up and send them out, and then you got to get an RSVP. And there's so many things and so many balls rolling that you don't know where you left off. At least I didn't know where you left off and where you're at, what you still have to do, what's done, what needs to be done, who's invited, where it's going, who's helping out, what colors we're going with, what we need to wear, all these things. And the king here says, hey, you ain't got to worry about nothing. You don't got to worry about nothing. There's no registry. There's no pick what you want on the list to eat. There's nothing. He says, everything you need is going to be here when you get here. All we need for you is to show up. That's all he's requesting. In verses 1 through 14, there's nothing there that says you need to bring something to this feast other than yourself. And as we get down, you'll see the change of clothes that's provided and also needed. But there's nothing that they physically have to bring. So for these people to reject again this invitation, it doesn't make sense. But this was their attitude in verse 6. Or excuse me, in verse five, he says, after the king sent these guys out again with the second invitation, he told them to come to the wedding. This was their response, but they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. Now, I've been invited to, you know, a fair amount of weddings, and we've been to a fair amount of weddings. I'm sure the majority of you have all been invited, have been part of a wedding. And there hasn't really been one where I'm like, I don't want to go because I don't like that person. I don't want to go because the food that they're going to serve isn't what I want. What they have to offer me by showing up and asking to celebrate isn't what I want. The only lot, you know, as my brain is processing, why are these people, why don't they want to go? It's simple as this. They didn't like the people getting married. They didn't like the groom. They didn't like the king. They didn't like the things that were being offered by them. They didn't like the person. Not the venue. People love heaven. They love the idea of heaven. Love it. Oh, I'm going to heaven. My mom's going to heaven. My grandma's going to heaven. But they hate the person of Jesus Christ. They reject God the Father. They reject the Holy Spirit when it's prodding them to be changed. They don't like it, but they love all of the things that come with it. They just don't like the person who can offer it. And the same thing is happening here. This king, these people who are being invited, they don't like the person. And so what do? They leave. They say, nah, I got anything else to do. They say, yeah, I might show up to the wedding, but my farm needs tending. What's he say also there? Another to his business. They were worried about material things. They're worried about their livelihood, not knowing that because they're missing out on this invitation, that they lose it in the end anyways. But they had bigger and more important things that they had to tend to rather than this wedding feast. So they had the invitation. They ripped it up, threw it away. God sends his servants to go ask him again, hey, please come. It's a command, come to the wedding. That's what he says at the end of verse 5. Come to the wedding. They see the invitation, rip it up. One goes this way to his business, one goes this way to his farm, and then there's the rest of them left in verse 6. And it says, and the rest seized his servants, treated them spitefully, and killed them. You see, the folks who were trying to spread the good news of the invitation, the folks who were taking the message of the king out to the world, out to these people who were invited, were not met with open arms, open doors, and hospitality. They were killed for the message that they were bringing to these folks. You say, well, thank God we don't have to worry about it here. Yeah, well, we might one day. If you look up, if you Google anything in North and Central Africa right now, what's happening? People are taking the message of the king to tribes, to a high Islamic ranking state, and they're doing it boldly, and they know what the cost is, and they're being slaughtered for taking what the king asked them to do. These servants say, but king, what if? King, if I take this man, I know I'm getting on their nerves. This is the second time you're sending me out. The first time they weren't too kind. You want me to go again? They don't say that. They say, okay, you're the king. I'm going to do what you want me to do. And they take it and they go regardless of consequences, regardless of circumstance. They take it boldly to the people who were invited. Are you following me? They take it to the people who needed it. They take it to the people who were supposed to understand that the king was here and they were here. And these people rejected it two times. Well, and then that was enough for the king after he heard what they have done. One thing also, you can't hide anything from God. Word always gets back to the king. When people don't show up, everybody's accounted for in a kingdom. Everybody has a job in a kingdom. Everybody has a place in a role in a kingdom. So when these folks don't come back, the king's asking questions. What happened? Where'd they go? Why are they not coming back? And he goes on to verse 8. Then he says to his servant, in verse 7, but the king heard about it, or when the king heard about it, he was furious and sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Phil preached on Sunday, God might not discipline you right now, but don't think it ain't coming. Don't think that, you know, you got off scot-free and that you have nothing. You're good. Because 70 years after Jesus was crucified, Rome took Jerusalem. Captured it, took it, took care of it. Just because things don't happen right now doesn't mean they're not going to. And for these people, the invited, mind you, the folks who were supposed to be there, mind you, God took care of them. He said, no, two times I came. I bet you had he not killed them, had these folks not killed the servants, he would have sent them out again. Because he cared about them that much. And they rejected the invitation. They rejected a seat at the table. They rejected everything that the king was offering to them. Therefore, or so they paid with their lives because of an action that they took against the servants of the king. But the problem is, the king already had this thing, this ball was rolling, right? The banquet was ready. Everything was ready to go. In verse 8, he says, then the king said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. So the folks that were invited that he took care of, that he killed and burned up their cities, well, they're not here anymore. So is he going to let this banquet go to waste? Oh, no. No, he's not. Here's what he says to the servants. Therefore, since they are not worthy, therefore go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. He said, we ain't going to have all this go to waste now. The folks that were supposed to be here didn't show up. So now what? Well, let's go get somebody in here. And he says in verse 10, so the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both bad and good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. You see, initially, the invites were for the Jewish folks. It was for the people, the religious people who should have known better, the high-ranking religious leaders who should have seen Jesus and knew him as Messiah and Savior, yet they didn't. So where does that leave? Well, the Jewish people didn't accept him, still don't today. So what's that leave? It leaves the Gentiles, it leaves the non-Jews, it leaves you and me. It leaves everybody else. And praise the Lord for verse 10, because of this, because this third invitation goes out to people who were unworthy, to people who didn't have it, to people who had no place being in a kingdom, no place whatsoever being in a kingdom, because these folks who were supposed to be there weren't there, they got an invitation. And not only did they get the invitation, but the hall was filled. He took care of it, but there was a catch to this invitation. In verse 11 it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Now we can suppose that the folks who were invited off the highways and off the streets and all those things, they probably didn't have royalty wedding clothes. They probably didn't have a men's warehouse where they could go and get these nice robes and these nice suits. They didn't have that. So who would provide it then? The king. He had extra. He had plenty to go around. He had enough for everybody in the room. And so he gave them to him. And they wore them, the ones who chose to wear them. And they had a new, fresh robe on that was fit for this feast. They had something new. But in verses 11 and 12, when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. You see, the king took notice of who was in the room. He has a very keen eye of who was supposed to be there, who's there, who fits in, where they're probably from. And one guy catches his eye. He says, what's different about that guy versus everybody else in the room? And it's a stark difference. He's still in street clothes. He's still in his highway clothes. He's still in his unworthy clothes. He doesn't have the new royalty robe on. He doesn't have the proper attire that was provided to him by the king and for him by the king. You see, this man showed up thinking, maybe if I fall into the back when that buffet line goes through, I'll be able to sneak in a plate real quick. Maybe the king won't notice that I'm here amongst all of these people. Maybe I won't stick out like a sore thumb. But the king, he knew all the maybes. He knew all the things, all of the tricks, as if somebody had tried to do it before. Because when that man walked in, he could have been in the middle of it. The king saw him and he called him out. You see, this man wanted to partake in all of the good things. And he could have, had he only been willing to change his clothes. He could have got everything the king offered, every single thing that the king offered. But instead, in verse 12, he says to him, so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And what's it say? He was speechless. He was speechless. He didn't have an excuse. He didn't have a reason why everybody else looked the same and he looked different. He didn't even try and utter an excuse because he couldn't. There was nothing that he could say in that moment to change the king's mind, to make it right. And when you get called out by God the Father, what are you going to say? When he says, why don't you look like these guys? Why aren't you wearing the robe? Why aren't you washed in the blood of Jesus? What are you going to say? You're not going to say anything. You're going to stand there just like this guy did and look at him. And what are you going to say on that day of judgment? Well, God, I didn't know. God, I went to church. God, I heard the Bible. I heard Jesus being preached. I believed in God. Isn't that enough? My mom was a Christian. My dad was a Christian. What are you going to say? You think about all of these people in your lives who you've shared the gospel with over the past 4, 5, 6, 10, 20, 50 years. What are they going to say? Are they going to say, man, because Ashley shared the gospel with me, I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Are they going to say, I didn't know, nobody told me? Are they going to say, Luke shared the gospel with me, and because him and the Holy Spirit, I was able to get saved? What? There's not going to be a second judgment. There's not going to be a second time where you have to stand in front of God the Father and you get a redo. It's not going to happen. And let's see what this man's fate is. So he was speechless. In verse 13 he says, "Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping.'" And gnashing of teeth. You see, on that final day, that final judgment, when you stand before the king, there's going to be no mistakes made by him. There's going to be no error of, oh yeah, I forgot to give you the robe, my bad. God's not going to say that. I don't know what he's going to say. I hope for everyone in here on that day of judgment, he says, "Welcome home, my good and faithful servant. There's a seat at the table waiting for you." Not like this man who was bound hand and foot and thrown out. You see, many are called, it says in verse 14, but few are chosen. There are so many people today, religious folks today, who think religion is enough, who think by showing up on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning is enough, who think, well, I believe in God and I pay my tithes and I do all of the things that the Bible says I should do. They're rejecting the invitation, just as the first two invitations, they're rejecting it. Just like this man here, he didn't want to change. He didn't want the newness of what the king was offering. He didn't want it. But there are so many people who I hear at work, oh, I'm good. Me and God, we're like this. We're buddies, man. We're friends. Don't need to worry about it. Well, that's fine, but that's a lie. And if I'm not, if you're not, if we're not the servants who who God is asking us to be in this passage, regardless of what happens to us, what are we doing? What are we scared of? Are we scared of a little backlash from somebody? Say, don't talk about Jesus to me anymore. Well, if that's the case, okay, but now you know. Give him a chance. It says many are called, but few are chosen. Friends, I want everyone in this room to be part of this banquet. It's going to be better than anything that this planet, that this earth could ever be. Any wedding you go to, Queen of England, President, it don't matter. It's not going to be anything compared to the glory of this banquet and where it's at and who's providing it. The only catch is, you got to change into some clothes. And because of that cross, 2,000 years ago, the garment's been paid for. All you got to do is put it on. So I'll send out another invitation. You're invited to the banquet. Won't you come? Won't you come? You can't ever say now, oh, I never got the invite. I didn't know Jesus loved me. I didn't know that there was a heaven and that there was a hell. If you're sitting in this room tonight, you can't say you didn't know. So I ask again, won't you come? Let's stand. So many things that can get in the way of an invitation.